Well, there's not a lot of information on your handout to guide you this morning. Hopefully not a lot there to distract you either. So let's begin this morning turning in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So, you know, a few months back when Pastor Oxer asked me if I'd be willing to preach, one of the things that he'd indicated was that he wanted us to hopefully communicate something that was a story from a biblical character. And so as I prayed about what biblical characters would be relevant for, ultimately it ends up being a tent full of, you know, fathers and sons, the passage that I just kept coming back to here was 1 Samuel chapter 3, right? And, you know, it gives us an opportunity to look at Samuel and Eli and by extension some young men in Eli's family, right, and gain some lessons from them that hopefully can be relevant and applicable to ourselves. But with the number of boys that were going to be here today, it just really occurred to me that Samuel is a really good example. And we're not going to get into chapters 1 and 2 and 4 that are all part of the context here, but just to kind of set the stage and who was Samuel at this point in life, since he is the main character in our story. All right, so at this point, Samuel's a young boy. You know, the scriptures don't tell us exactly how old, right? But we know that his mother had prayed for a son, that she had kept him with her until he was weaned. I don't know exactly when that was, maybe 3-4 years old. And that since he was weaned and brought to the tabernacle to serve the Lord, that she'd had 5 additional children. Right? So, I don't know, give it a year and a half allocated to each of those. That's 7.5 years plus 4 years. That says maybe he's 11, 12, maybe 15 years old, somewhere in there, right? He's probably early teens, if assuming she didn't have a bunch of twins. Right? But, he's not old, right? He's obviously developed some maturity, and we even see that in the opening verse of our chapter here, chapter 3. It says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Right? Now, he's involved in serving and in ministry, but it still calls him a boy, and if I understand Jewish culture, I think it was at 13 that they would officially be considered a man, right? And so, you know, here we're likely dealing with someone that's, you know, probably we'll call him 12-ish for the sake of our session here today. So, who's here that's say, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old? Raise your hand. All right? So, I mean, think about yourself, right? You're probably about the point in life that Samuel was when we read of these events here today, right? So this isn't something that's strange or far-fetched, right? It's activities with a young boy here as our central character. And verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Right? "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation," right? This occurs in the Old Testament during the period of the Judges. Right, this is before Israel had kings, right? And so, you know, Israel was in this cycle of obedience and disobedience and discipline, and then they would return to the Lord, right? And so, you know, there was sort of a period of spiritual decline and spiritual renewal that just kept happening in the nation of Israel. But it says there was no widespread revelation in those days. The Lord primarily spoke through his prophets. There wasn't, you know, completed copies of scripture getting passed around. There wasn't one in every tent, right? And so the Lord primarily communicated to his people through the prophets. And when it says there was no widespread revelation in those days, it tells us that there wasn't a lot of prophets running around sharing God's word with the people, right? The Lord was largely quiet. And it says, "And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.'" And let's just continue on through verse 10 here. And it says, "So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And Eli says, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And Samuel went and he lay down. And then the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So it hasn't even occurred to him that the Lord could be calling him. When he hears, he assumes that it's Eli. All right, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And now the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times. And Samuel, "Samuel," and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." All right, so we saw in verse 1 that Samuel was a boy that was ministering to the Lord before Eli, right? And our setting is at night when they've laid down to go to sleep, but obviously they haven't fallen asleep yet, or at least the Lord calls loud enough that it wakes him up, right? And the Lord calls in verse 4. Right, and what do we see? Does Samuel respond or does he not respond? Right? He responds, right? He doesn't realize it's the Lord, he thinks it's Eli. Right? Now, if you boys have somebody that calls you, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's your dad, right? Do you always respond immediately? Do you drop whatever you're doing and you run over and you say, "Here I am, for you called me"? Right? Isn't that everyone's response? Right? It's something that I have to repeatedly address with my son. Right? That when I call him, he does not always respond. But here we see that Samuel's heart is soft, and he's willing to serve, he's willing to respond. He serves under the authority of the priests, and when he thinks Eli calls him, he responds right away, and he goes. Even though he's tired, he's laying in bed, right? He could roll over and pretend to be asleep, but he doesn't do that. Right? He responds. He gets up, he goes, and he says, "Here I am, for you called me." And the thing that just impresses me about this is he doesn't just do it once, right? He does it three times. Now, my personal inclination is that if I went to Eli one time and he said, "No, I'm not calling you," he'll go back and lay down, right? And then I hear the same voice call me again, right? I'm probably just going to roll over and go to sleep. Say, "Not my problem," right? But that's not what he does, right? He gets up, he goes again, he responds. So here we have a boy that's listening, right? He's engaged, right? When he hears someone call, even if he's not certain that it's necessarily for him, he's going, right? So when he thinks he hears Eli call, repeatedly he responds, right? But then Eli gives him instructions in verses 9 and 10 because Eli recognizes, right, if he's come three times, he's obviously hearing something, right? He's hearing something no one else is hearing. Perhaps this is the Lord calling him, right? Perhaps after a period of there being very little revelation that the Lord is actually going to speak. And if that's the case, if we got the opportunity to get some insight into what God's thinking at this time period in Israel's history, right, we probably ought to respond and get the message. And so verse 9 says, "Therefore Eli says to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears."'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." It's got to be just an amazing experience, wouldn't you think, as a young boy, to be told, right, if you hear this call again, that's actually going to be God talking to you, right? So just lay still and ask him what he wants to tell you, right? What an amazing experience. And how thankful we should be that we don't have to lay there in our bed at night and wonder if God's going to speak to us, right? We've got the completed Word of God right here. Right? And I think one of the lessons we can take from Samuel here is that he listened carefully to God's Word and he wanted to hear it when God spoke to him. We've got God's written Word right here. If we open these pages, God can speak to us any day. Right? Are we opening these pages? Are we taking time to look into God's Word and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears? Right? What a great posture that would be to approach the Word of God, to not have it be, well, I've got 15 minutes for my devotions this morning, so, you know, I'm just going to breeze through a passage here, right? But to really take that humble posture of wanting to listen and learn what it is the Lord has to say. So, you know, but when we hear the Word of God, right, we hear it taught. We've had lots of messages here at the men's camping trip, right? We hear the Word of God taught in our churches. Right? How is it that we respond? Do we listen attentively? Right? Or do we grow dull to what we are hearing? You know, I think one of the most important aspects of any relationship is good communication. One of the keys to good communication is active listening. Right? Sometimes we've got mixed results on how good of active listeners we are in our communication with our wives. Right? But how good are we at active listening when the Lord is speaking to us? Right? Are we actually really engaged? Are we focusing on what He wants to communicate to us here? Or are we just thinking about what comes next after this conversation, right? Are we already in the fishing boat or on the golf course when we're sitting in church on a Sunday, right? Is our mind there, or are we really engaged in the Word of God where the Lord is speaking to us, even through that human messenger? You know, our society doesn't emphasize listening. Our society emphasizes talking, right? Social media really isn't about listening. It's about getting your view out there, right? It's about, you know, having your own little, you know, 40-character snippet, you know, voicing your opinion, right? And that's really not the posture that God wants us to take. He wants us to take the posture of a listener. Of a hearer, right? So I think that if we can be better active listeners, whether we're talking to our wives or looking in to Scripture, that will be very good for our development of our relationship, not only with others, but also the deepening of our relationship and understanding with the Lord. And then thinking about the boys, right? I'll talk to you for a minute, right? We already talked about whether or not you respond when your dad calls, right? But what if your dad calls you softly, right? In our passage here, it doesn't sound like the Lord's yelling at the top of his lungs, right? He's calling Samuel's name softly, right? So if your dad says your name from across the room, right, are you actually listening? Are you listening for your dad's voice so that you can respond to that? I mean, there have been basketball coaches through time that have refused to yell and raise their voice because they want their team to actively listen for them so that they can communicate things to their team and not to the other team, right? Because the other team's not listening for their voice. Are you listening for your dad's voice, right? If your dad called you softly, would you even know, right? It's one of the challenges I see with my kids that I seek to train them on is that they need to actually actively listen, right, and respond when I say their voice or their name softly, not wait until dad gets frustrated and raises his voice, right? It's better if we listen and respond when the Lord says something softly or when your dad says something softly, right? And then how do you respond? Is a response quick and eager, like Samuel's, right? Or would you tend to ignore your dad if you heard your dad call, right? Would you ignore him till he said something the third or fourth time? Or would you respond the first time, right? Here, Samuel's a really good example because he responds right away the first time he hears his name called, right? Which allows him to be directed into something that ultimately is an incredible opportunity for him. So then moving beyond verse 10, we'll look at verse 11. Right? What happens when Samuel says to the Lord, speak, for your servant hears? Right. Then the Lord said to Samuel, he said, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons have made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Right? So that's not a good message to have received, right? The Lord didn't have a message for Samuel that was warm fuzzies, right? He had a message of judgment for Eli, the very man that Samuel was serving under in the tabernacle. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, right? He's doing his task, right? And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision, right? So we saw last night in Nick Rupert's message that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Daniel, that they responded with courage in the midst of circumstances that would cause most people to fear, right? And so here we have a situation where Samuel, in a similar way, is afraid. He's afraid to tell Eli what he's been told of from the Lord here, right? And then Eli called Samuel, verse 16, and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." Right? So even though he's afraid, he doesn't go and hide when Eli calls him, right? He responds, he says, "Here I am." And he said, Eli says, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Do we have a tendency as people that when we're afraid or we're nervous about something, that sometimes we leave some of the facts out so that maybe it's not as offensive to someone? Do you boys ever leave facts out when you've done something wrong and your dad asks you about it? Right? Yeah, I have. Absolutely. Right? Right? So you're nervous. You know you've got information that isn't necessarily going to be well received. Right? You've got bad news. Yes, I threw the baseball through the window. Yes, I hit my brother. That's why he's bleeding. Right? Right? But you've got choices in those moments of whether you're going to tell the truth and the whole truth, or whether you're going to try to conceal things to protect yourself. Right? Here, Samuel has an opportunity to conceal things. Eli says, "Tell me the whole truth." Right? "Tell me everything. Don't hold anything back." Right? And Samuel knows this is bad news for Eli. But what does he do? It says, "Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him." He told him everything and hid nothing from him. Right? Think about how your relationship with your dad, think about how the trust that your dad has for you could be increased. Boys, if when your dad asks you something, you told him the whole truth and held nothing back, even if it was difficult. Think about how much more your dad would be able to trust you with time, right? That's how the Lord would have you to function, right? And that's how Samuel functioned here. And Eli, does he respond with anger? Does he respond with frustration because Samuel gave him bad news? No, what is his response? In the second half of verse 18 there, Eli says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Right? So Eli has a calm response. Now, and Eli should have known that this day was coming. Right? If you read the context and you look at chapter 2, you see that the Lord had given Eli a very, very direct challenge. Right? You can read about the corruption and depravity of Eli's sons in chapter 2, right? It says they had evil dealings with the people, that they were driven by lust and greed, and that the result was spiritual damage in Israel. Chapter 2, verse 17 said, because of what his sons were doing, it said, "Therefore the sin of the young men, Eli's sons, was very great before the Lord, and the result was, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." So these were men that served as priests that were doing things that were terrible, right? They were not only perverting the sacrifices, right, but they were causing the people to sin in other ways, right? And the Lord had already warned Eli that his sons would die a premature death, that there would not be anyone in his family that would achieve old age. So Eli had to know if he believed the Lord's word from what the Lord told him in chapter 2. Eli already had to know that this was coming. So Samuel doesn't know this, but he's just confirming and reconfirming what the Lord has already told Eli. Right? That his sons would have a premature death. Now, how many of you boys have learned Ephesians 6:1? Alright? What does it say? Okay? And then what do verses 2 and 3 say? Have you memorized those? Okay? This is a common thing that I see. I even see it in my own kids. I have a tendency, when I touch on this passage with them, to stop after verse 1, right? And not continue for verses 2 and 3. But I'll read them for you here. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise," right? So obeying your parents and doing what is right has a purpose, right? In verse 3, it says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth, right? So the Lord tells you boys to obey your parents. And one of the reasons is so that you can enjoy a long life on the earth, so that your life doesn't get cut short because of sin, right? And Eli's sons did not do this. We see that while their father wasn't engaged and didn't challenge them till they were well down the path of sin, and it was becoming a spiritual problem in Israel, that when he challenged them, their response was to blow him off. Right? And the end result of it is that their lives end up being cut short when we read chapter 4. Right? And so, chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 1 is important. It's important, boys, to remember to obey your parents. But part of the reason for that is so that you can enjoy a long life and not have it cut short. But that is not how Eli's sons responded. And as a result, if we read chapter 4, we would see that they would both die, just as the Lord had predicted. And so, dads, one of the questions for us is, right, are we going to wait like Eli until our sons are already well down the path to destruction, right, when they're negatively impacting others in a spiritual sense, right? Chapter 2 says that the people of Israel were despising the sacrifices of the Lord because of Eli's sons. Right? They were having a far-reaching negative spiritual impact, right? And being a very bad testimony to the people and making the people to sin. Are we going to let our sons go down that path, right, without intervention until perhaps it's too late, until they're already hardened in their ways and hardened in their sins? Or are we going to be engaged with them, right? Are we going to have ongoing interaction and communication, so that even as your sons are grown, and Eli's sons were obviously men, right? They were serving as priests in the tabernacle, right? So they've obviously grown up, right? But Eli had not cultivated a relationship with them where he was a person of influence, where when he tried to interact with them, his view was discarded, right? Are we cultivating relationships with our boys so that even after they leave our home, that we can still be a person of influence and encourage them in their walk with the Lord, right? At some point, we have to transition from a rules-based approach with our children to a relationship-based approach, right? Where on the basis of the relationship and the mutual trust, we can be people of influence. Eli obviously did not have that relationship with his sons Hophni and Phinehas. Right. And so the consequences there were very dire. Right. But what about Samuel? Right. After this, Eli takes a very sobering message from the Lord. But what happens to Samuel after this? Right. Did the Lord just speak to him one time, or did the Lord speak to him more? right? If we look at verse 19, it says, "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord." Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, verse 21. "For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So, in chapter 2, we see that under the influence of Eli's sons, Israel was despising the sacrifices of the Lord. And now, we see that the Lord appeared again in Shiloh and revealed himself to Samuel. And this provides the opportunity for Samuel to begin to lead a spiritual renewal in the nation of Israel. Right? And it began with him just being a listener. Right? But when he listened to the Lord once and accurately handled the message that the Lord gave them, Samuel got expanded opportunities to receive those messages from the Lord. Right? And he had a great ministry and a great opportunity. He ends up anointing David as king of Israel. He has many other opportunities of significant spiritual influence in the nation. But it all starts as a young boy with decisions he made to listen. So let's not be today like Eli's sons. Let's not be like those men who pursued their own selfish and sinful impulses to their own demise and to the spiritual damage of others. Let's not be like Eli, who was a passive father, who did not seek to influence his sons' lives until they'd done great damage to both themselves and others. But let's instead be like Samuel, right? Let's be eager listeners to the Word of God as the Lord speaks to us through the pages of Scripture. And when we listen, let's be a responsive hearer. Let's not be hearers only, right? The Scriptures say that be a doer of the Word and not a hearer, right? For if you're a hearer and not a doer, right, you're deceiving yourself, right? So let's go beyond just hearing and let's actually be responsive to the words of Scripture that we hear. Let's be like Samuel and be a willing servant for the Lord, right? His ministry was not glamorous, right? We see him doing things like opening the doors of the tabernacle, right? Being the door opener is hardly the primary glamorous ministry in the nation of Israel, right? But he was willing to be faithful in these things. Let's be a truthful messenger, right, boys? Be truthful with your parents. Be truthful with one another. Be truthful with other people. The Scriptures say that the Lord hates lying, right? And so let's tell the truth. Let's tell the whole truth. Let's be a truthful messenger. And not just with one another, but let's do a good job of truthfully communicating God's word to other people, people that may need to hear the gospel, right? And let's be like Samuel, who was one who honored the Lord from his youth and was of great spiritual benefit to his nation. Right? He honored the Lord from his youth. You know, this is something we see of a number of men in the pages of Scripture. We saw it in Mr. Rupert's message last night. These four boys that honored the Lord from their youth. Right? We hear things like that said of Timothy in the New Testament. Right? We see those things of Samuel here. Right? Don't look at life, boys, as something where I'll serve the Lord, I'll honor the Lord someday when I'm older, someday when I'm grown. Samuel makes it very clear that you have the opportunity to serve the Lord today. And it might be in small ways. You might not have the opportunity to get up and preach when you're 13. Right? You might not have the opportunity to go on a missions trip, right? And go someplace that, you know, perhaps, you know, gets a little more notoriety, right? But you've got opportunities to serve the Lord within your own family, right? You've got opportunities to serve the Lord with your classmates, right? And let's not pass up on those opportunities, because Samuel was one who honored the Lord from the time he was young and was of great spiritual benefit to other people. So let's be like Samuel, and let's be willing to serve and be of spiritual benefit to others. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truths in this passage, Lord. We thank you that we have this example of Samuel, Lord, who listens, who hears, who acts on what information you give him, Lord. He's a doer, right? And, Lord, that he's able to have a profound impact in the lives of others simply by being responsive and handling your truth well. Lord, help us guard against being passive fathers like Eli, that just leave our sons to their own devices, right? That allow their sin natures to make all the decisions for them. Lord, help us to be men of influence in their lives and to build the relationships with them so that there's a credible platform for us to be that spiritual influence, Lord. Help us, first of all, to stir up that relationship with you in our lives so that we can be that influence in our homes that we should be there, Lord. And, Lord, just even thinking of the sobering realities that we didn't even look at in chapter 4 here today about how you exercised judgment against Eli's sons, how they were lost in battle in the same day. And on that same day, hearing of the news of his son's death, that Eli himself dies. So you fulfilled your word, Lord, and help us, Lord, to take your word seriously and to recognize that you not only keep your great and precious positive promises, Lord, but that you also keep the promises that are there to warn us, Lord. And I pray that we could be responsive to you, that we could walk with you, Lord, and be that spiritual influence you would have us to be in our homes.